Mike Hammond is a linguist at the University of Arizona. He's also an expert on language games. He says he still remembers his first encounter with Gata.
I learned the game in junior high school. I suppose all the little boys learned it in my junior high school the same way. One day we walked into school, and all the little girls were unintelligible, which was probably always true. But in this particular day, they were unintelligible because they were speaking Gata. I have two younger sisters, and so being a pre-linguist as I was, and probably not the greatest brother to my sisters, I managed to coerce my sisters into teaching me the game, and then spent several hours learning to be quite fluent with it, which I've pretty much lost. But then I went into school, all prepared to speak Gata with all the little girls, and none of them spoke it anymore. It seemed to die virtually immediately.
As soon as you could understand it. How does Gata work?
It's a pretty standard sort of language game. It involves taking the string of sounds idig, the letters I-D-I-G, and putting them into each syllable of the word. So if you take a word like word, the way you would play the game with the word word is widigerd, with a longer span. So let me give you a sentence like, girls talk Gata. That would sound like this. Gata girls tiriga, gata gay tiriga.
What do you do, by the way, with single syllable words like the, and, as, it?
Those, tiriga, irgand, irgaz, irgit. All right, so that just goes right in there. If you want to be more precise about the way the game is played, it goes in the middle of every syllable. If the word has one syllable, it goes in the middle of the one. If the word has more than one syllable, it goes in the middle of each. More interesting is, what does it mean to be in the middle of a syllable?
Yeah.
So if you take a word that begins with a vowel, like and, the way the game is played is itigand. But if you take a itigand. If you take a word that begins with some number of consonants, it becomes more complicated. So let's see how your intuitions are. So take a word like, let's start with an easy one, tie. Do you have an intuition on that?
Titigai.
Titigai, correct.
Okay.
Take a word like sty.
Oh, stitigai.
Oh, good. Excellent.
So just out of curiosity, mitigai, nitigame, itigiz, jitigim?
Could go over it again. Yes. No, that's dead on. And if you played it for an hour, you'd find that you could move pretty quickly with it.
There's another one that I remember looking at that I think you know a good deal about that. Mm-hmm. It's called ob or op.
Yeah, op is actually just like Gata, except it's a shorter span. So in the ob or op game, again, you stick that right in the middle of a syllable. So something like tie would be top eye.
If I wanted to say the name of our program, to the best of our knowledge, it's ute, the a, or of a, est be, of a, our a, olige nay. I mean, it's relatively easy to do, but mm-hmm. but sticking the itta in there, as you were doing in the beginning, it's much harder. Or ob, abu, ob, I mean, I can't even do it. Ob, ob the.
Yeah, the parameters that separate these, I mean, the itig one, there's two parts to it. One is that it goes in the middle, and the other is that it's for every syllable of the word. And I think the thing that makes the Gata one a priori kind of hard, looks kind of hard at the outset, is if you put it in every syllable. But if you just do the beginning, so tidigu, didiga, bidigas, didiga, vidigaur, and nidigalage.
I like that.
Seemed quite easy to me, but
yeah.
There are some interesting games that involve avoiding repetition. So when you say Popeye, right, so the thing you insert is op. What do you do if the word already has a P in it?
Is it pop-op? So pig...
Well, in op, I'm not sure. The game I do know that has this property is something called the name game. I don't know if you're familiar with this. This
is like that song that...
Exactly. The Shirley Ellis. It's a song from
Banana,
back in the
Fana,
60s.
That's Fufa. The one.
Right. And that one... Let's take Jim. Let's see if we can do Jim without. Okay. Jim, Jim, Bo, Bim, Banana, Fana, Fo, Fim, Me, My, Mo, Mim, Jim. Well, there's certain names that you can't play, right? Some of them you can't play because they lead to unfortunate other words.
Uh-huh.
There are other names, though, that don't so much lead you to something you regret saying, but the name itself is awkward. Some of these involve repetition. So this one we did Jim, Jim, Bo, Bim. If you took a name like Bob, right. So the way the game is played is you repeat the name, you take the first bit, I'm being ambiguous there, you take the first bit of the name,
right,
and you replace it with a particular sound. So Jim, Jim, Bo, Bim, you replace the J with a B.
Right, but if you have Bob, you've got Bo, Bob, and that's no fun.
Right. You'd be repeating the same thing. What I found, I mean, I've actually done this with, 300 freshmen. What freshmen tend to do, and children tend to do this as well, is they tend to just go ahead and say it that way. So they will go, bob, bob, bo, bob, right? They'll just say the same sound. In the actual original song, what she sings is that, and she actually explains the rule, what she sings is that if the sound that you would replace the sound with is the same, then you leave it off. So what she says is, bob, bob, bo, ob.
Oh.
If you would be inserting a B to replace a B, you leave it out.
Yeah, what about some of the others? There's the D game, for instance, that I understand
you play.
Oh, the D game.
Well, the D game is a game I made up. In thinking about these, the question one might ask is, where do they come from?
Yeah.
And I think, in fact, they come from our natural urge to play with language. And as an example of this, you could take this D game. The D game is not a real game so much. Well, it is a real game. It's not a public game. It's a private game that my son and I invented.
I think it's about to become public.
Oh, you think? Well, I guess so. Well, the game was, I think he was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in those ages. And all you do is you take a D and you put it on the beginning of every word. Okay, so you take whatever consonants are there, whatever consonants are on the left, and you get rid of them and put a D on.
Okay.
You could say hello to my son.
Okay.
Whose name is Doey now. His real name is Joey, but you could call him Doey.
Del Delo Doey. Ditz Derry Dice Do Doc Do Do.
That's an excellent one. That's excellent.
There's another game that I know. It's a kind of an adult version of the one that we've talked about. You mentioned it to me before we went on the air. You instead of innocuous things like putting a D at the beginning of a word, you insert expletives in the middle of words. Is that sort of the same thing as itig?
Yes, yes. Well, it's actually not so much a game. It's actually a real productive construction in language. It's not a formal sort of thing in the sense that you'll find it in books, but it's very widely used in certain parts of the country and, in fact, in other countries. The technical name for this particular construction is expletive infixation. And the way it's done is you have some word or some expression, and you insert in the middle a particular expletive that renders this thing more forceful. So I won't use the actual expression because we're on the radio, but you can do it with things that are similar. So if you take a word like fantastic, if you're something is really fantastic, you might say fan-bloody-tastic. So there's something very natural about it, something that for somebody who speaks English come quite quickly. Take a word like Minnesota. Okay, if you were going to stick bloody in the middle of Minnesota, where would you do it?
Well, minna bloody soda.
Correct. Nobody wants to say mi bloody Minnesota or Minneso bloody ta. Nobody's ever tempted to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's automatic. Let me give you another one. I'll give you an easy one. Appalachicola. I think it's
Appalachicola.
A city. And, okay.
Appalachia bloody cola.
Okay. Can you do it anywhere else?
Appa bloody Latchicola, I suppose.
Exactly. And those are the only two places you can do it. Nobody is tempted to, let's say I got to do it without saying the offensive one. Bloody Palachicola, Appalab bloody Chicola. Those you can't do.
Right? No, they're wrong. They're just wrong.
There's something wrong. But you're not taught this. Nobody's taught that. I mean, for example, I don't know whether this is a construction that's familiar to you from your childhood or from your real world life, but it comes quite natural where you can do it, where you can't do it. And it must, bespeak some sensitivity we have to the structure of the words in our language.
Does this kind of thing translate into facility with regular spoken language? Do these games make us more literate?
Well, that's an interesting question. I actually have a graduate student who was working on just this question, and there's some research in the reading literature that shows that these games, the ability to play these games, and mostly this has been tested with not naturally occurring ones, but unnatural ones, that the ability to play these games correlates with one's reading ability. So if you look at children who, where you can test their reading ability, how well they're reading for their age, it turns out that there's some evidence that their ability to play these games and play them, rapidly or learn them quickly does correlate with their ability to read well. So there is a correlation at that very brute level.
Well, we're kind of running out of time, so I just wondered if there's a farewell statement you'd like to make in your favorite language.
Wadigal, thirgankir you, firgor, lirgis, thirging, thirgumirgi, thirgakirbao, lirgang, wirgirj, kirgames.
Well, and we were very pleased to hear you talk about language games. Dankdu.
Thirikankiru Trigu.
Mike Hammond teaches linguistics at the University of Arizona.